There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your host, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. We are on episode 82. Today we have a special guest in the house. Our guest is Desmond Dunham. How are you, Desmond?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Joni and Sean. I really appreciate being here today. I'm excited.
We are really looking forward to hearing from you and having our listeners listening to your story. So just a brief bio on Desmond. So Desmond, also known as Coach Des Dunham, is a youth sports expert with over two decades of coaching and teaching experience in Washington, D.C., with an award-winning career in high school cross country and track and field. Coach Des boasts many All-American national and international titles. Dunham is an Under Armour running coach and ambassador, the founder of Kids Elite Sports, and a D.C. public school teacher. At the core of his coaching philosophy, he believes that all kids deserve opportunities to excel. He is passionate about helping athletes develop to reach their optimal performance on and off the track. He holds a bachelor's degree from Howard University and a master's degree from Trinity University. Recently, Desmond Dunham wrote the book Running Against the Odds, which he shares his story of coming of age and triumph story about how he overcame odds on and off the track. Desmond, you have an inspirational story here. We've read the book Running Against the Odds, and I'm loving to get into that. And I would like for you to start by kind of going into your story.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, so it all started with going out for my high school cross country team in ninth grade, and that completely changed the trajectory of my life. It was that moment where I really learned that internal fortitude within myself and how not to give up and have that stick-to-itiveness. I also had the opportunity to meet my coach, who became a father figure and just kind of paved the way. And so I just thought it was really neat to also share. As you mentioned, I have over two decades of coaching and teaching, and every time I share those life lessons with my students and my athletes about some of my challenges and pitfalls and how I triumphed during those times, they would get super excited. And I'll never forget one young lady over a decade ago who said, "Hey, you need to write a book. This is inspirational. It's motivating. And more people need to hear these stories. More people need this energy and motivation." And so when the pandemic hit, it was the time that, you know, we were trying to figure things out. I had a little bit more flexibility at home, and I just put the pen to the pad. And here we are a year and a half later. And I'm excited that Running Against the Odds is now in the stores.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, I would love to hear. I know you've had some, because we like to be vulnerable on the show, and because I think it helps listeners relate to, you know, they see the after product, you know, but they don't realize everything that we have gone through to get there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, start like with some of the challenges maybe you had, you know,
growing up
or in high school.
Yeah.
Your book, resonates a lot with us because it's very similar to Joni's upbringing and some wow. trouble growing up and some, you know, and overcoming some odds, you know, at a very young age and growing up quickly, I think, you know, than most kids do. So if you want to share,
And I can't wait to read Joni's book. So yeah. I'm excited about that and see how they match up. But yeah, I mean, it started where I absolutely loved school at an early age. And then I realized that I had some differences than some of my classmates. And around second grade, I was being pulled out of class for a speech impediment. And I was dealing with that. And then shortly after, I started to have some other issues, and that stemmed from having dyslexia. And so with that being said, I had my challenges within school. And then I also had challenges at home, where my dad was a Vietnam a veteran, and he was responsible for carrying bodies off of the battlefield and injured and wounded soldiers, dead soldiers, and he was not provided with that mental therapy when he returned home. And so needless to say that he found other coping mechanisms, and with those coping mechanisms, he started to abuse the use of alcohol. And with that being said, he became a totally different person. And unfortunately, I was not able to rely on him as a dad. And my sister and I, we witnessed some abuse within our home and with my dad and my mom. And so while your home is supposed to be this safe haven and a place you can relax and reset, it wasn't really that type of atmosphere and environment for my sister and I, and nor for my mother. Mm. And in the midst of all of that, we're in Gary, Indiana, which in the 90s, it was the homicide capital of the US after the steel industry started to decline. Some other things started to happen within the city that made a struggle for a lot of families and homes. And so it was a lot to navigate. It was a lot within school, at home, and also within the community.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot right there. I mean, growing up, you know, and having these challenges at an early age, I always tell my listeners that you can either be the victim or you can be the victor, right? Yes. What was that? When was that moment in time that you said, you know what, like I'm not going to be the victim? And how did you know, and how did you overcome those challenges?
Yeah, so I think I had a few of those moments, and with a few of those moments, I mean, first and foremost, in high school, my coach just really instilled some values where he made us become more goal oriented, and that translated to not just doing it on the cross country or the track, but also in life in general. And so there were times that I just really had doubts. I didn't have the foundation that a lot of counterparts had on a national scale. And so there were times where I doubted myself. When I entered Howard University, super competitive university, I'm thinking, you know, do I belong here? And after feeling sorry for myself for a day or so, I made that commitment to say, hey, I don't care what happens, I am going to make it work. And that's just kind of that entrepreneurship spirit where when you know that you've calculated everything and everything makes sense, it's just you just got to grit and grind, and you just got to have that attitude that I'm not going to give up. I'm going to outwork everyone. And that's just kind of became my DNA, where I wasn't the most talented. I wasn't, you know, always the, you know, most sophisticated or intelligent person in the room. I am simply going to outwork you. And that's not to sell myself short at all. I mean, we have our strengths and weaknesses, but at the end of the day, it's all about how hard do you work to acquire knowledge, how hard do you work on a daily basis, and whether that's, you know, dealing with yourself or dealing with the business, you have to have that type of attitude.
It resonates a lot with us, because mm-hmm. we talk about a ton on this show, because we're, you know, like I said before, people see the aftermath. And so, like, Joni and I, yeah, we say that over and over again. We are not the smartest. We are not the most talented. But
we will outwork anybody out there. And I think with any successful people, we all say that, right? Yeah.
I think the other thing is we never quit. Mm-hmm. And I think that relates a lot to sports. And we grew up playing sports. So I think that's where it, you know, that's where we get that desire to keep competing. Mm-hmm. But tell me about, there was a story in your book about in college, you made a mistake. I think you lost your scholarship, your running scholarship, and your track and field scholarship. But you know, I think a lot of times the people in those situations would probably quit or you know, drop out of school and go, especially maybe sometimes with the kids that maybe had a, don't have any support at home or somebody that's saying, hey, hang in there or go, but you still fought back. You earned it back. Can you tell us about that story and how you redeemed yourself and
Well, you know, the one thing that, sorry to keep going back to my high school running days, but I just feel like I learned so much from that. And my high school coach, and he used to always just say, no excuses, you know, own your mistakes, learn from your mistakes and fail forward. And so those types of things were going through my head where I wanted to go out for this fraternity and it wasn't, it's not a social fraternity. It's not a party for certain fraternity. It's a fraternity that, that were pillars within the community. They were, did a lot of service, a lot of leadership. I knew I needed to be a part of something like that where, I mean, iron sharpens iron in life. And so you always want to, you know, check to see who you're rubbing elbows with. I wanted to be with these guys because they were super sharp. And I felt like I could become a stronger leader through this fraternity. But I forgot about one other major thing, and that was to finish all of my studies and homework. And so that, I was just super excited about college, about all the opportunities. And I really just got sidetracked. And it was for a good reason. To this day, I am finally in a fraternity. It was a year later that I had the success of doing so. But it was tough times. And it was a lot of lonely days. It was a lot of tough days. But I remember sitting on my bed. I had tears pouring down. And I just had to own it. And I had to figure it out. And there were times where I was working two jobs. I was also trying to run to get my scholarship back. And I just didn't want to give up. My mother had worked extremely hard. She had worked 24 to 28 hour shifts to provide for my sister and I. And I just didn't want to let people down. And I didn't want to let myself down. So I made that commitment that I don't care what it takes. I'm going to finish school and I'm going to finish it strong. And I'm just so thankful that, as you said, that you learned that through sports. And that's my second book, too, by the way, how sports can just, if you do it the right way, there's just so many life lessons that you can carry with you. And you'll never forget about it. And it'll stick with you in those moments that you need it the most.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time as well. Sean and I both played sports in high school as well. And sports really taught us, you know, to be tough mentally, to quit.
How to fail and like still, right. Yes. Like you said, fail forward and you lose and how do you handle those losses and overcome and come back. And I had some, growing up too, I had some abusive coaches, not like physically, but mentally. And you know about, you've seen it a lot more than I have, but like just, like I had a coach one time that was so mentally abusive, and he did it because he thought that made kids tougher. And so like he would weed everybody out by, if you could take the abuse and
I'm sorry to hear that.
But it made me, you know, I learned still a lot through that and through that experience. And I obviously I'm not a quitter.
You learn what not to do, right?
Correct. Yes. No. Yes. Yeah.
And that's the impetus of my second book where it's a parent and coach's guide that so that we can really build the character, the life lessons, the teamwork. I mean, those essential skills that we need as not only as kids, but as adults. I mean, to make our relationships go stronger and to also just be a team player within the community. It goes on and on, but we do miss the boat sometimes, and where we're missing it quite a bit these days where it's all about the scoreboard and it's less about the lessons that are entangled in playing sports.
Yeah, that's awesome. Agree. Yeah, there's a ton of lefts in that. I play to win, but at least, but that's not.
No doubt about it. I'm super competitive. It could be a game of Uno. I want to win, but you just don't want to put some things before winning, and that's correct. Where.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, Des, one question I had for you is I know when I wrote my book, I learned a whole lot about myself personally. Yeah. You know, even through the writing process, did it hit you? Did you experience anything different when you were writing the book?
Oh, yeah. It was some really tough nights. And First of all, I thought I was going to write the book in 6 to 8 months. And
it takes a lot longer.
It was about 18 to 20 months. And so I learned that, hey, I still got that grit and determination. But it also kicked up a lot of dust for me. It also allowed me to have some tough conversations with my family members, my siblings, my mom, my dad's siblings. And so I would say it was super therapeutic because there were just some obvious things that we should have discussed that we pretended that it wasn't there.
Right.
And so it was this emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want to say that and a lot of people to this day are still saying, man, you were super vulnerable in your book. And and which, you know, as Sean said earlier, people see you being successful and they think that you don't have a problem. You don't have a worry. You don't have, you know, any concerns in the world. And, you know, you're just thinking to yourself that that's the farthest from the truth.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot of things that I had not unpacked that I just kind of, you know, just went through life. But then now as I reflect back on it, I do realize that there were some things that I should have, you know, had some therapy for. There were some things that some tough conversations I should have had a lot earlier in life. And so better late than never. And that's part of the reason I want to get this in the hands of a lot of young folks so that they understand that you don't have to go through these types of issues in life alone, that there's people out there, there's resources. And also not to be afraid of tough conversations. I mean, we live in a world where, I mean, to me, there's just a ton of miscommunication. There's a lot of assumptions and biasness that we really just have to put it on the table and address those things. And so that's, you know, my hope, part of my hope for young readers and also for adults with Running Against the Odds.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I give you a lot of credit for putting yourself out there like that. I know for myself as well. I mean, it's not easy, you know, to tell your life story. And it's not easy to, you know, put that out there for everybody to see. But it's who we are, right?
Yes,
and exactly. If we can help somebody out there who's struggling with the same things, you know, I commend you for doing that.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
I want to go back to another story because I think it kind of talks about your character and all that as well. I enjoyed reading the part where it was you had missed your, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I read that wrong or my memory is wrong, but you missed your high school championship running because of an injury, and then you almost repeated it in college your senior year, right?
Yeah. So I actually ran in it injured, and I ended up getting next to last place when I had a great shot at being all Indiana and for the state of Indiana. And so it was a hard pill to swallow where, you know, I'm 100 plus places behind where I should have finished. I'm probably 3 minutes slower.
Yeah.
I had run with a metatarsal stress fracture in my foot, but to this day, I'm happy that I was able to still compete. I was happy that I was still able to give the effort, and then you fast forward, and I ended up getting bronchitis 2 weeks before my last collegiate conference championship race. And I mean, it was just such a bummer. And when a doctor told me that, hey, your season is over, you're not racing in college and for this championship, I just couldn't believe it. I was the captain of the team. I had worked and fought hard to get back onto the team. And so again, I towed the line against doctor's orders, and I ended up on the back of an ambulance on a stretcher and ended up developing pneumonia. And so once my coach found out that I was hiding that from him, and my mother found out, I mean, trust me, I heard a lot from them. And during that time, I just wanted to get healthy again. I mean, I just felt like crap, but I still felt good that I just felt like I didn't let my teammates down, and I did the best I could on that given day. And, you know, that's just a lesson in life too, that you got to just do the best with what you have. And sometimes it's going to just be, you know, different levels on different days, but just got to keep trudging forward sometimes.
Yeah. We're big on that in our team, and just Joni and I and ourselves, like, mm-hmm. You know, we don't look a lot at the competition or what's going on. I mean, you got to know what's going on in the market, but you, I mean, you don't really, you just look at yourself,
right?
And like, are you yourself giving your best each and every day?
Yes.
And improving, yes, each and every day, just yourself. Because, yeah, you'll look up and you'll be miles ahead if you just focus on that. So mm-hmm. I was going to just share this because I think Brett will love this, that Brett produces a show here. And you mentioned Invictus by William Henley,
yes,
I think, in the book, and that's, you were repeating that, I think it's a poem, and so yes, Brett has it above his desk, and so he's,
wow,
something he reads it.
Oh,
so
wow,
it's just a small world, yeah, yeah.
I knew I liked you, Brett.
So, but yeah, so it was an awesome, he'll appreciate
that. Yeah, I mean, I'm always thinking, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul, and we all just have to have that control over our own lives, mm-hmm. And it reminds me every single day, I have two teenagers and I tell them, make it a great day. And one day, you know, my daughter says, well, what do you mean, make it a great day? And hey, you have the ultimate control over how your day goes. You know, someone may try to screw it up and they may do a great job, but it's up to you if you're going to accept it or deflect it. And that's just life. You know, we're dealt a certain hand, and how we play that hand is super important, whether it's, you know, for ourselves or for our business. We have to make sure that we're, you know, just optimizing that hand that we are dealt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. So you seem to have a servant's heart. Like, what drives that?
Yeah. I mean, just the fact of making someone else's life better. I mean, I don't know how someone, you know, can't try to make someone's life better. I mean, you guys are in the real estate business, and it's that same feeling you get when, you know, someone really wants a home and they really have worked hard to try to, you know, to acquire that home, and you're part of that deal. And that's just, I mean, if we, like, the world would be so much better if everyone thought about, how can I help my neighbor? How can I have a business that helps or serve others? And so I'm just super fortunate that I started a tutorial mentorship program that went on steroids, where we ended up having 100 plus students at Howard to help to save a local elementary school that lost all of their funding for foreign language, which and music, and we were able to run those departments. Mm-hmm. And it was that time where I realized that this is an amazing feeling to help to change someone else's trajectory in life and to give them some opportunities. And just kind of thought I was going to medical school, but I started that teaching, coaching, tutoring, and it's just always, you know, filled my heart. And to this day, I still think the same way, where I want to create, you know, help other people live their passion, live their hopes and dreams. And, you know, we're born into this world dreaming and hoping and wanting to live our passions, and somehow we get distracted, and, or we don't have the resources. And, And so I want to be that person that can help to make someone else's life better. It's just an amazing feeling.
That's great.
Yeah, helping people find their passions. I love that.
Yeah. I commend you for that. Cause I think your coaches, right, had a big impact on you. And so, you know, how big of impact you can have on kids growing up and mentoring them. Yeah. What can you share some stories or anything that you've, cause I know I've coached our kids and I know, and they're still young, but I've gotten probably more out of coaching than maybe I've given them at times. I think it goes both ways. Do you have that same feeling or?
So, yeah, I definitely will say that having that ability to learn from our young ones, and I definitely have that same feeling when I coach my kids. Mm-hmm. It was just such a pleasure where I'm a relationship person and you know, we have a huge sports camp where we have 4 different sites and over 1,000 kids during the summer, but I hire close to 100 counselors. And most of these counselors, they want to work for me because of that relationship that I have with them. And you know, so it goes into the business side as well. But in terms of just, you know, being a coach and having that ability to learn from, you know, our athletes, our own kids, I mean, it's just a special experience. And I mean, there's a lot to always gain. It's always a two-way street. And as soon as you think it's only one way and you should be the one, you know, pouring into them, I think that we're missing a boat and we're definitely missing a major opportunity.
Yes. I had a question for you. Can you overlaps, you know, running to maybe mainstream? What have you learned? What other lessons do you think you have learned from sports and running that maybe parallel with life or business? I know we have a lot of business listeners.
Mm-hmm. So I would say that, I'll never forget where running this cross country race and I thought that I was going to be in the top 10. And I worked really hard. I worked, you know, harder, just as hard as anyone on my team. And I thought that I was going to make it into the top 10 finishing position. And I ended up getting 75th place in this particular meet after I thought that I would be again in the top 10. And so I ended up getting this little ribbon that I ended up throwing into the mud and I was so dejected. And my cross country coach chief ended up coming and he saw the unsportsmanlike conduct and he pretty much told me that I got what I deserved and that that I was making matters worse by my attitude and my sportsmanship. And I'm gonna cut the story a bit, but I ended up, you know, taking some lessons from Chief after we had a long talk, and I ended up taking that ribbon and I hung it next to my light switch. And so every single day it motivated me when I turned that light switch on to just work even harder. When I thought that I had nothing else left in the tank, somehow I was doing more core work. I was running more miles. I think I got up close to 100 miles a week for, you know, a good amount of my senior year as a result of that ribbon. And with that being said, it's the ribbon and that experience that really shaped and molded me to become a Division I scholarship athlete and to be recruited. Mm-hmm. It also made me, you know, over a minute faster in cross country. Wow. And so that transcends into everything we do in life. It also definitely transcends into business because we're going to work hard, but there's always a little bit more that you can do to beat on your craft that's going to allow you to have that competitive edge. Mm-hmm. And when you start to work at a really high level and you're fixated, not just focused, but you're fixated on those business goals and you're living it on a daily basis, mm-hmm. you're going to start to have some things. You're going to start to have some luck. You know, I always say the harder you work, the more luck you have. And sometimes it's about, you know, meeting the right person or just getting the right break or having the right resource. But, you know, you're not going to get those things unless you're, you know, beating your craft every single day.
Yeah.
And it's, I know where the ribbon is to this day. I have no idea where some of my trophies and medals are. And so it's those tough lessons and that adversity that will, it's going to either define you one way or you're going to allow it to catapult you and define you a different way. And so there's a lot to get from, you know, failure.
Yeah.
I think so many of us have this negative relationship with failure, and it's something that we just need to embrace. Mistakes are okay, but learn from those mistakes. Be prepared to learn. Yeah.
That's great. You talk a little bit about, you know, the focus, and you have to have extreme focus, you know, to get to where you have, and also discipline. Talk a little bit about the discipline it took to get there.
Yeah. I would say that I always have my goals visible where I can see them. With my goals, I always have at least one or two things that I want to change in my life that brings me closer to that goal. And that's what I mean about fixated. You can't just say you want to do something. Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself every single day, what did I do today to get one step closer to my goal? And, you know, a goal without a plan is only a wish. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of folks who are out there. They want success. They want success. And you talk to them and that's all they're doing. They're just talking. And it gets to a point where, okay, and let's not talk about these hypothetical situations any longer. What are we going to do to put one step in front of the other? Mm-hmm. And I know that it sounds a heck of a lot easier than actually executing it, but you have to ask yourself, what did I do to get one step closer to my goal? It might just be a phone call. It might just be a Google search. It could be something small. You're going to have some really tough days, but you just got to keep trudging forward. Mm-hmm. And eventually you're going to come out of that dark tunnel. You're going to see that light, and it's going to be a glorious light.
Yeah. I think a lot of us, you know, you just have to get started. You know, some people just don't want to put that foot forward and just get started. Right. Yeah. So we have a lot of new listeners, young listeners that either getting into being an entrepreneur, buying real estate, or, you know, what advice would you give them either personal or, you know, business wise? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, one for sure is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You want to make sure that you're surrounding yourself by other champions. And I always say this, that about 80% of it should come from studying others and what they've done. And then the other 20% is your own ingredients that helps you to set yourself aside. Because, I mean, we know that in business, you always want to try to be that unique brand, that unique business, offer something different, give a customer a different feel from all the other businesses. And so for our young listeners, I would 100% say that iron sharpens iron. You want to make sure that you audit your circle, that you have potential mentors, that you have other business owners that have figured it out. And you want to just be that sponge to absorb as much as possible. And in just through your own research and interaction, you'll also formulate those other key ingredients that makes you unique. And so, you know, we're a very top heavy area for camps. And we ended up coming up with a sports related model, but we made it a lot more unique than all the other area camps. And we, you know, overnight success was 3 years. And that's typically, you know, the minimum. And now. We have over 1,000 campers. We're still expanding, and you know, we have the hard decisions. Mm-hmm. Do we continue to expand, or you know, are we at our sweet spot? And so, young listeners, just please make sure you have your mentors. You don't reinvent the wheel. Make sure that you're, you know, studying on a daily basis. You want to study potential competitors. And that's always something I learned early in my coaching career also, was that not only did I know my next move, I would know my competitors' next moves.
Yeah.
And not to compare myself to them, but it always helped me to sharpen my model, my business model, and what I offer to customers. And so that's my advice.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for that advice, Coach Dez. And
I appreciate that. Yes. Yeah, I had a personal question for you real quick, though. I heard you still run like 40 miles a week. Is that
yes,
accurate?
Yeah. Yes. All right.
So what? What do you?
Go ahead.
I'm not a big runner. I don't enjoy it. So I had two questions for you. I'm gonna ask you two questions. Do you enjoy running? Is it something you just love doing? And then two is, what do you do like all that time? I know you can listen to things.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of time alone, I guess. Yeah.
Well, so that's a great question. I have a love-hate relationship with running, to be honest. You know, but I just absolutely love the benefits. And this is just science. And I mean, first, it's just great for mental health. Just the release of endorphins, serotonin. I mean, you just get so many benefits that helps physically, physiologically, and it just the mental health side of things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes my wife, I'll come in cranky and she'll say, "Hey, you need to go for a run." And because I come back and I'm a different person, and I'm able to shed layers of stress. And so I live a pretty high stress life. But, you know, by choice, I love everything I do. And so sleep is probably one of the last things on my list of things to do. But
second question was what do you fill your time with? What would run out all that time running?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, the cool thing about getting out for a run too, is the fact that I can have various playlists. And so depending on the mood that I'm in, it could be anything from Coldplay to Jay-Z. But, you know, I have probably over 3,000 songs on my iPod. And yeah. So I got my various lists. And it's a time that I actually do the most and the best thinking. Every now and then I'll listen to a podcast or something motivating. But this is the time that I have to myself, and this is uninterrupted time. And so a lot of times I'm able to really get in the zone if I have the right music or the right motivational talk, or, you know, I'm always just trying to either decompress or fill myself with just, you know, additional positive energy.
That's nice. Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah, so you even got some marital advice in there. So I can just tell Joni to go for a run.
Go for a run.
Well, Desmond, thank you so much. How can our listeners get involved with you?
Yeah, so I was going to say one thing earlier, too, that I've been a little sidelined as I had a PRP injection on my knee. So I'm not running 40 miles right now, but the goal is to get back. So, you know, if anyone's following me on Instagram, they're going to see me on the crutches. And so listeners can find me at Coach Dez Dunham, at Coach Dez Dunham for Instagram, or Desmond Dunham on Facebook. And then I also have a website, www.coachdezdunham.com. And I would love to connect with some of the listeners here.
Awesome. And there's no doubt you'll be back maybe tomorrow with your drive. That's awesome. Yes. So yes, just again, guys, go check out Desmond Dunham's book, Running Against the Odds. Is this available on Amazon?
Yes, it was the number one new release, and it is on Amazon. Yes.
All right. So Running Against the Odds, guys, it's a great book, and we'll have it all in the show notes as well. So.
Yeah, so we appreciate you being on here, and I think you added a ton of value, and I enjoyed the conversation today and all that you shared, so thank you.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
No, thank you all very much. I really appreciate you having me, Sean and Joni.
Awesome. Well, that's it for today. We'll see you all next week. Everybody have a great week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.